Me. Ma. Let's see. It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is June 17th, 2022. And that means that it is Friday, home of the Synth Battle Royale. I received in the mail a stylophone. I plugged it into the microphone input for microphone 2, but sadly, I can't hear it on my end. But it looks like it's sending something out. So, I know what to do. Here we go. Check it out. I don't know where the volume knob is. There it is. The contact is dirty, I guess. But it just came in the mail. So watch out, world. Alright. It's a stylophone. Stylophone. But I think the stylus is dirty because it sounds very bad. I just got it in the mail, so maybe it's like a cleaning or something. But yeah, it's dirty. But we'll play with it. Stylophone. With an S. Has a stylus and everything. Alright, sorry, I didn't mean to distract. I just was excited because I was like, it came. But I have it turned down. It's still pretty loud, I think. I don't want it to be too loud and destroy your ears. It's destroying my ears. And here's the high pitch sound. All right, that's enough of that. I'm gonna turn that off. Click. All right. I'm sorry, Oak 3. Stop. Please stop. Apologies. There's a synthesizer disease that infects all who use a non-radio. Eventually, it will come for you too. Yep. Sorry. It's just how it goes. All right. Well, anyway, that's the fun. That's what's happening with me. I'm going to play with that later on. But good times, good oldies, good news. Well, not really. We start the way we pretty much always start, and that's...
World news.
World news. One dead as India protests against new short-term army jobs widen. Man dies in Telangana state as protesters throw stones at police and set fire to train coaches in demonstrations against a new military recruitment policy. At least one's died and more than a dozen injured as protests against a new short-term government recruitment policy for the military entered a third day in India. The death was reported on Friday from the southern Telangana state, a sign the protests were spreading, where police opened fire as a crowd gathered at Secunderabad railway station and torched train coaches. It wasn't clear if the man died in the police firing or not. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government announced this week an overhaul of the recruitment process for the 1.38 million strong armed forces, aiming to bring in more people on short 4-year contracts to lower the average age of personnel. But many potential recruits object, saying they should be allowed to serve longer than 4 years. Opposition parties and some members of Modi's ruling BJP party say that the system will lead to more unemployment in a country grappling with joblessness. Police said they used batons and tear gas to disperse protesters in several states, including Bihar, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Haryana, and Rajasthan, after crowds took to the streets, blocked railway tracks and roads, and damaged vehicles and government buildings. And Gurugram, a satellite city of India's capital that's home to offices of several multinational firms, authorities banned gatherings of more than 4 people at one place. This order shall come into force with immediate effect, posted in a notice which was posted on social media by the district's information department. So, very scary times. Interesting, but just, I don't quite get it. I don't understand why it's a big deal. Let's see if Al Jazeera has any history on it. Trying to see if it tells us here. Here it is. Instead of recruiting professional soldiers to serve for a full career of pensionable service, the Indian military, under a new policy, will now recruit them on a short-term contract basis. A new military rank called Angnivir. They will be contracted for 4 years, including the training period, and exit without any pension, health, or education benefits. So, that is the problem. That's why people are mad about it. Is used to, if you joined the military, you were in it for life, and you got a nice pension when you retired. But, now they're saying, well, we just want you for 4 years, and then when you leave, you don't get anything. So, we'll see. But, that sounds pretty shitty to do. It's like, if you've got that other system in place, it's going to be a tough sell. Well, here's something that is about sex trafficking and violence against women. So if you're sensitive to that, this is your heads up. 35 teenage girls have been rescued from a hotel in southeastern Nigeria, where a trafficking ring was forcing them into prostitution. Children born to these girls are sold, according to local police. The girls, aged between 14 and 17, were rescued from the Galley Galley Hotel in Anambra State, where they were used as sex slaves for prostitution and baby-making. Local police spokesman Tochiwuku Ekinga said in a statement on Wednesday evening. 4 of the girls were pregnant, he said, adding that weapons and cash had been recovered by police. 3 men were arrested at the scene, while the owner of the hotel is on the run. Human trafficking, which includes forced prostitution and the sale of children, is the third most common crime in Nigeria, behind corruption and drug trafficking. Southeastern Nigeria is particularly affected by trafficking in women and children. Several illegal maternity wards have been discovered in this part of the country in recent years. So just a very disturbing story. But...
World news.
That's the end of that story. We're back to our regular... death and destruction and sadness. And that brings us into the UK. A passenger with restricted mobility has died at Gatwick Airport after leaving an aircraft. Gatwick said staff were helping to disembark 3 passengers with restricted mobility at the time, including the man's partner. He decided to leave the EasyJet plane rather than wait for staff to return and fell while going up an escalator. Sussex police confirmed the 82-year-old man died at 12:50 BST on Wednesday. The Gatwick spokesman said the passenger made a short walk to the escalator from the runway to the Skybridge, which takes passengers to the North Terminal. He said EasyJet cabin crew were closest to the man, so provided medical attention before the medical staff arrived. A spokesman said, a number of our cabin crew provided medical assistance. However, the passenger sadly passed away. Details are emerging on exactly how it occurred, but, this is not the first time a passenger with restricted mobility has taken matters in their own hands. In August 2017, Justin Levine famously dragged himself across the floor of Lutton Airport after staff were unable to retrieve his wheelchair. They had offered to strap him into an airport chair and push him through the terminal, but Levine, a fitness enthusiast, declined, saying this compromised his independence. The incident's now being investigated. However, it raises more questions about the treatment of disabled passengers. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, or a week or two ago, maybe less, we had another story about another flight into London or into the UK. I think it was at Heathrow. But they just left the guy on the plane. They didn't go get his wheelchair. They just forgot and left. And so the next flight crew came on the plane and were like, oh, hello. And they went and fetched his wheelchair right away and got him off the plane. But he waited there for hours before, all by himself, before somebody showed up. So, yeah, it's hard times. If you have any kind of mobility problems, it's a real tough time right now. Howdy, Jeff. Welcome. And Oak 3 and Snow Dusk and X1 and just everybody. Adam D, it's a party right now. Snow Dusk is in the house. Famous DJ Snow Dusk, the intergalactic wasabi mix himself, DJ himself. So please check it out. You can jump into COM. All you got to do is SSH over to SDF.org and then just run COM. And then when you press enter, press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, and you'll land in the Anon Radio room. And you can talk to all the cool people that are hanging out there. And from there, you can also press the equal sign and see the new stuff coming up or what the schedule looks like. Because we've got DJ 10 from Berlin and Raleigh in the Banana Republic and Cafe 80s tonight, along with audio theater. I don't know how popular audio theater is. I'm glad Harmonica Player puts them up, but audio theater, I enjoy it. I know that it's time to go to bed whenever I hear audio theater, because that airs at 0600 UTC, and I am at -5 UTC, so I know that I need to sleep before audio theater finishes. So let's go ahead and keep on moving. We've got a few more stories before...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This guy is always on my mind. But we've got a few stories. We'll do one more story. We'll play a song, and then we'll talk about some power and energy stories, because I think that will be super fun, especially because tomorrow at 1900 UTC, I'm only Monday through Friday. On Saturdays is a step further out with... DJ Publius, or with Publius. So, all right. China launches their third aircraft carrier in military advance. China has launched its third aircraft carrier, the first designed and built entirely in the country, marking a significant military advance for the Asian superpower. The announcement comes as tensions between China and the U.S. have ramped up in recent weeks over Beijing's saber-rattling towards self-ruled Taiwan, which it views as a breakaway province to be seized by force if necessary. Launched in Shanghai Shipyard to great fanfare, the Fujian is more technically advanced than other Chinese carriers. It is the first catapult aircraft carrier wholly designed and built by China. It will be years before the Fujian reaches operational capacity, and the Defense Ministry has not announced a date for entry into service. Sailing and mooring tests will be carried out as planned after the ship is launched. China has two other aircraft carriers in service, the Liaoning was commissioned in 2012, and the Shandong was entered into service in 2019. Unlike the Fujian, they use a ski jump style platform to launch aircraft and do not have a catapult launcher system. The U.S. has the most aircraft carriers in service at 11 ships, followed by China and Britain, with two each, according to Jane's Defense Magazine. So we'll see. And yeah, I'll get my stylophone chops working in one day soon here, and then it's just going to be, you know, a battle. Oh, sorry. Here, we'll play it subtly. Sounds like a dying electric dog. Anyway, let's go ahead and play a song, because we got to get the music. I need some music. What's going on? I need to play some music. You hear that over and over, or at least that's what I hear. But it's okay, because that's what happens. We're going to go ahead here and go to oh, here it is. Sorry, I was looking to see. I was trying to find a particular song. And, yeah, I think I found it.
A people shot, keep violence back, and the children. Obituary. Oh yeah, cockroach nests, rattling traps. How many devils can you fit upon a matchet? Curiosity killed the Kerouac cat. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. In Miami, round the corner, there's a white old man with shoulders and a spirit given it for crack. He'll never want it back. There's a little kid and his family eating breakfast like Thanksgiving at a back of wild desperados are full of baby. Obituary. Oh yeah, create a fire cat, warm plugs back. How many angels can you fit up on a match? I wanna know why Hemingway cracked. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Life is the crummiest book I ever read. There isn't a hook, just a lot of cheap shots, pictures to shot, and characters an image of a never dream.
Fanon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. And SDF, it's powered by you. Happy birthday, SDF. Yesterday was the 35th birthday for SDF. And we learned a new word today, thanks to X1, pleonasm. Pleonasm is a redundancy in linguistic expression, such as black darkness or burning fire. It is a manifestation of tautology by traditional rhetorical criteria and might be considered a fault of style. Pleonasm may also be used for emphasis or because the phrase has become established in a certain form. Tautology and pleonasm are not consistently differentiated in literature. And that's from Wikipedia. So maybe off there, but that's pretty cool. I did not know about that word. All right, so we've got about 9 minutes, which should be enough time to cover these three stories about three different energy sources and stuff that's going on. The U.S. Army has deployed its first floating solar array, something that that buzzword, I guess, people have been using is calling them photovoltaics instead of photovoltaics because they float. Floating solar had a moment in the spotlight over the weekend when U.S. Army unveiled a new solar plant sitting atop the Big Muddy Lake at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. It's the first floating solar array deployed by the Department of Defense, and it's part of a growing current of support in the U.S. for photovoltaics. The Army says its goal is to boost clean energy, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and give the nearby training facility a source of backup energy during power outages. Power outages. The panels will be able to generate about 1 megawatt of electricity, which can typically power around 190 homes. The installation is the largest in the U.S. Southwest and is a big win for photovoltaics, which have yet to make a big splash in the U.S. Oh, what colorful, fun language they're having fun with. They only make up 2% of solar installations annually in the country, which accordingly to Duke Energy, who did the research there, which collaborated with Fort Bragg and the renewable energy company Amerisco on the project. Upfront costs for a floating solar have typically been slightly more. Upfront costs for floating solar have typically been slightly more than expensive than for land-based counterparts, but hotter temperatures make it harder for solar panels to produce as much power from the same amount of sunshine. But luckily, sitting atop water, it has a cooling effect, which makes the panels allows the panels to generate more electricity than panels on land. And so it makes the panels more efficient and makes up for the higher installation costs. So, very cool. I thought that was pretty neat. They do have bifacial solar panels where they have a photovoltaics on both sides of the panel, and that's pretty cool. Those also are increased efficiency, but you have to have them at a higher angle. The image here, the floating panels, they are practically horizontal, so I don't think that they would be good for that. All right. Well, so there's solar. What about hydrogen? Have you thought about that? The war in Ukraine has upended Germany's energy policy. Since the start of the war, Germany's reduced its dependence on Russian oil from 35% to 12%, and on Russian gas from 55% to 35%. Nevertheless, energy trading is a huge source of revenue for Moscow. Over the first 2 months of the war, Germany paid almost 9 billion euros, which is 9.6 billion US or 7.7 billion pounds, for Russian oil and gas imports. Veronica Grimm is an economics professor at the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg and currently one of Germany's three special advisors to the federal government, called the Economic Sages. Hey, Ice303, welcome. Ooh, Gray Race album. We need to diversify and decarbonize our energy sources faster than initially planned. To help achieve the goal, Ms. Grimm wants the nation to ramp up its use of hydrogen. Hydrogen can store vast amounts of energy, replace natural gas in industrial processes, and power fuel cells in trucks, trains, ships, or planes that emit nothing but vapor of drinkable water. Ms. Grimm's enthusiasm is gaining traction, according to the International Energy Agency, an energy research group. Dozens of countries have published national hydrogen strategies or are about to. Despite the interest, it's not yet clear that the large-scale use of hydrogen can be viable. Well, why? Well, because we don't have any. After all, skeptics warn that industry representatives who globally dominate most hydrogen councils are often biased in favor of hydrogen, as it promises subsidies and keeps up demand for existing assets like pipelines, tankers, and such. They also argue that politicians like big, green-sounding plans for a more distant future rather than solutions to difficult problems. Meanwhile, groups are cautious. They point out that hydrogen isn't harvested as a primary fuel. Instead, it has to be made mainly in two ways. There's actually, I guess, technically three ways. We'll get into that. There's green hydrogen, which is it electrolyzes water using green power, so using solar panels or something like that. And it's very expensive to do. And so emission-free hydrogen makes up about 0.03%, so 0.03% of global hydrogen production. Up to five times cheaper is what they call gray hydrogen. This is derived from natural gas or oil or coal. But due to losses during production, about 50% more CO2 is emitted than if natural gas were directly burned. Hey, welcome, Stug. Welcome. So that's kind of off the table, really. It's like, why would you burn, you know, 50% more coal to get half the energy? A related technique is known as blue hydrogen. This relies on the same process as gray hydrogen, but 60 to 90% of the carbon is stored and then is reused in some other kind of process. The drawback with this method is it roughly doubles the cost and lacks production facilities at a large scale, so only 0.7% or 0.7% of globally produced hydrogen is blue. So despite its environmentally friendly image and potential, the global production of hydrogen currently emits almost 3 times as much CO2 as the whole country of France. Much hinges on how countries decide to produce hydrogen. So we'll see how that plays out, but people are they're looking for alternative fuels. Of course, the UAE is in trying to ensure or seeks assurance that Iran's nuclear program is safe. We're almost out of time, but this will be a short one. The UAE urged Iran on Friday to provide reassurances on the peaceful nature of its nuclear program after the IAEA, or the International Atomic Energy Agency, denounced Tehran's lack of cooperation. "There are concerns," said the permanent representative of the UAE to IAEA, Ahmad Al-Kabi. In response to an AFP question during a press conference on the Emirates' own nuclear program, he called on Iran to closely cooperate with the IAEA and provide reassurances to regional and international countries regarding the peacefulness of its nuclear program. "The UAE has the first nuclear power plant in the Arab world. We need more of those in the world," I say. So, it lies just across the Gulf from Iran, which has a nuclear power plant of its own outside the coastal city of Bushehr, as well as a controversial uranium enrichment program. So, I think that that's pretty darn cool. I hope it works out. We're out of time, though, so please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope.
Means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.